Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellefson. Thank you for joining me this morning. My guest is Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss. Before I begin my conversation with Speaker Voss, I want to go through a few ground rules. It's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to disagree with someone's opinion. It's not okay to humiliate them because they don't think the same way that you do. Show some respect. That's what I'm asking on my show. And if you can't do that, don't bother calling in when I open up the program for callers after the 8:30 news. I'd also like to address some of the comments and emails and messages that I've received from a very small number of listeners alleging that I'm a rhino, I'm a sellout, I am not a conservative, and that I was not hard enough on Speaker Voss the last time he was on. All of you need to know that I was on the Trump train right from the beginning. And frankly, I got a lot of heat for that as well. If you listen to me for 4 hours every day, I hammer away on the Democrats every single day. My objective is to beat the Democrats. I started the Tea Party in Wausau in 2009. I was a stay-at-home mom. And I care about this country. I care about the direction of this country. And I care because I have children that are taxpayers now, and I will someday, I hope, have grandchildren, and I'm looking to preserve their futures. I support conservative values, and my goal, the reason I do this show, as I've said, is because I want to defeat every single Democrat in every single election in the state and the country, and frankly, here locally in central Wisconsin as well. If there was a clear path to get Trump back in office today, I'd be all for it. I had pumpkins on my front step on election night that said, Trump wins. I had a Trump flag hanging in my living room until after Christmas because I wanted so badly for him to be reelected. If there were a way to get him into the White House, I'd be the first one leading the charge. However, there's a lot of confusion surrounding that, and the clock is ticking. And the way I see it, we either focus on the past or we focus on the midterms and the 2024 presidential election. And yes, at the same time, I'm fighting for fair elections. I'm delighted that our Republican legislature has passed several election integrity bills that are now languishing on Governor Vito's desk. I don't have confidence that he's going to sign them into law. Whether or not you agree with me or Speaker Voss or any of my other guests for that matter, please take a moment to consider the following. Don't we have more in common as conservatives and Republicans than we do differing ideas? How many issues do we have to agree upon before we can wrap our arms around each other and unite this party? Okay, I'm done. So I hope that Speaker Voss can hear me, and I welcome you to the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Meg. I appreciate being on again.
Okay, well, and I'm glad that you did. I want to start out. I'm just going to, you know, I was accused of playing softball with you last time you were on. So I'm actually a competitive tennis player. So let's play tennis today. You know, I won't, you know, overhead smashes. I'm not going to do any lobs. I have a really strong one-handed backhand. I'm left-handed, believe it or not. So, no, but here, let's just start. And I know these are questions that I have spent the last couple of weeks hearing from a lot of people about, why didn't you ask him this? Why didn't you ask him that? Well, I tried the best that I could to ask as many as possible. So let's start. If you could have a do-over with how you handled the 2020 results of the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin, what are some of the things that you might do differently?
Well, first of all, I want to just comment real quickly on what you said earlier, because I agree with your comments that you know, I think back to when so many people like you got involved in the Tea Party. In 2009, people were frustrated that Barack Obama had beat John McCain, that we were in the middle of a recession. We had what I still view as an incompetent president in office. And rather than focusing on the 2008 election and the challenges that happened, people kind of looked at the future and said, you know what, we didn't win that one, but we are going to focus unilaterally on beating the Democrats in 2010. And we had a wave election that actually put in Governor Walker, Senator Johnson, a majority in the House and the Senate, in both the Assembly and the State Senate. So we had a revolution that really lasted 8 years until, frankly, we had a challenge in the midterm, which is exactly what normally happens historically in 2018. So, you know, do I think that we could have done things differently? Well, we launched an investigation. We had hearings right after November. We certainly showed that there were problems in the election. We know that today. We have got now proof that we had challenges in 2020. But I guess the only thing that I wish we could have done differently is focus more on what the long-term solutions are, as opposed to continuing to only look backward as to what the issues were in 2020. I think I could have been more forceful in reminding people that we have three branches of government, that the legislature doesn't have the power to arrest anybody. We don't have the power to prosecute anybody. We don't have the power to do anything more than to investigate and then show it to the public and refer it to the people whose job that is, district attorneys, the attorney general, pass bills to send to the governor. You know, I was at a caucus not too long ago, and Justice Kelly gave a great analogy that I think we should repeat over and over and over. Three branches of government. The legislature looks forward, the executive focuses on today, and the judiciary looks in the past. And it really makes sense when you think about it. We're focusing on the past, which is why we've gone to court, which is why we've tried to have lawsuits, and we focus on the future, which is to go forward by passing new legislation, to be able to have 17 bills, actually, that we passed, focused on changing how the elections go. But the current is really focused, unfortunately, with Governor Evers. He's the guy who's in charge of getting the bills across his desk. We have an attorney general who refuses to even believe there was any fraud or any election irregularities whatsoever. So I feel like we could have been more forceful in the beginning to remind people about the three branches of government, that no matter how frustrated you are, we don't have the constitutional right to usurp the authority of another branch of government. And I think that's what an awful lot of people want us to do.
Well, and that actually kind of leads to a number of the questions and some of the conversations that I have had with those that are still very upset about the results of the presidential election, that are upset about how you reacted to it as the de facto leader of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And if you could comment on the powers that you do have, and because I know that I had a conversation just over the weekend about Racine County and the investigation that went on in the nursing home, and how the district attorney in Racine County has stated that she's not going to prosecute those employees. And the comment that was made to me is that why can't Robin Voss do something about it? Why can't he put pressure on the district attorney to do something? It's his home county.
Yeah, and that's one of the frustrations I think we have. We have an awful lot of new people who joined the party since President Trump really rallied a whole group of people to come to our cause. And I think sometimes, you know, we don't remind people kind of about the basics, because many of us take them for granted. But when you have new people, you have to remind folks what the rules are and what's allowed. So in the three branches of government, the legislature really focuses on appropriating money, and we have the ability to investigate and hold people accountable, again, through the power of the purse. We don't have the ability to arrest somebody. We don't have the ability to prosecute or go to court because of some laws that I passed, actually, after Governor Evers was elected in our special session. We do have the power to go to court, which was something that would have never happened in the past if we hadn't taken a bold step, which is to really say we want to have our right to a day in court. So I think that an awful lot of people just have this misconception that somehow we have the ability to prosecute. We do not. That is absolutely not possible. I worked with Sheriff Schmeling and the district attorney in Racine County. I think they did a good job of showing what happened in a single nursing home in one case where we don't know if they voted by large for President Trump or for Joe Biden, but we know that they certainly committed what I view as crimes. But again, I'm not an attorney. I am not a prosecutor. The sheriff investigated, referred it to the district attorney. She does a really good job in my county. So, you know, she referred some of those charges to other DAs. Not a single DA in the state has said there was enough, evidence. So, yeah, it's frustrating to me, too. And I'm angry about what happened in 2020. I don't think people realize that, you know, look, I was a Trump delegate to the national convention. So I have the same thing where I wanted Donald Trump to win as much as anybody else in the state. But I also am not going to break the oath that I have to the Constitution, where I don't have the unilateral ability to put Donald Trump back in office. It just can't happen. And no matter how much people yell or scream or pass resolutions or stomp their foot, it doesn't matter about 2020 and having us with the ability to change the results. The Constitution is very clear. There are a number of ways to remove a president. One is impeachment. The other is if for some reason he passes away and the vice president takes over, not a new person. And lastly, by having death in office. So there's really only a couple of ways that we can change the president. We can't decertify. It's not constitutional. Jim Troupas, Donald Trump's own attorney, has said that. So we're arguing about something that really is focused entirely on the past, when, like in 2009, we have the chance to look forward, take back the U.S. Senate, take back the U.S. House, take back the ability to have a governor in Wisconsin sign the bills, take back an attorney general who will prosecute some of these people who've committed election fraud. All those things are possible, but we're focusing on something that can never happen. And I don't get that. So my hope is that we can pivot and now realize it's about the fall of 2022, not about the fall of 2020.
So there are a lot, well, those who are critical of how you've handled things are calling for you to either step down as speaker, step down from the assembly. There are those, I believe, outside of your district that are now calling to challenge you in a primary. How do you respond to that? And, what I'm wondering is what does that accomplish with regard to election integrity going backwards if someone else were to be Speaker of the Assembly and someone else were to be representing your district?
Look, it is clear that there is no doubt whatsoever that we do not have enough votes to overturn the election in the Assembly. If we put it to a vote, it would not happen. It would actually send the wrong signal, which is that we don't believe that there were election irregularities. Number two, I already have a primary challenge. People from northern Wisconsin have already recruited somebody to run. He doesn't live in Racine County. He just moved here about 3 months ago. He has no local connections, and he is traveling the state with Tim Ramphin on an anti-Republican crusade. Now, how in the world that is going to help anybody get elected in the fall, I have absolutely no idea. My job is to recruit candidates in 99 districts to elect the largest majority we possibly can in the state assembly. We have to raise resources and deploy those against the Democrats, who frankly are against simple things like voter ID, much less any kind of real election integrity legislation that's not on the books today. So it's counterproductive. It's going to hurt our cause, and it's going to do the very thing that people say that they want, which is election integrity, and make it incredibly hard to have done if we don't have a supermajority, if for some reason Governor Evers wins, or they don't focus on who the real enemies are, which is our adversaries in the Democratic Party.
Okay, so you brought up Representative Rantham, and I know that I have a couple questions, and I know that you've addressed them in the past, but for our listening audience, I'd like you to do so. The first one is, can you explain your motive and reasoning for removing Representative Rantham's staffer from his office?
Sure. And first of all, remember, Tim Ramphin has two staffers, one and a half. So we took the full-time person and reassigned him to Majority Leader Steinicke's office. He wasn't fired. He chose to voluntarily leave because he was using his statewide office for campaign purposes. He was sending out emails around the state. He was sending out emails and organizing around the state. That's a political function. Now, you're allowed to do that inside your own assembly district, but you're not allowed to do that statewide unless you want to use private dollars to do so. That's why we have a campaign. We try to have a very bright line between a campaign event and campaign activities, which are traveling the state, speaking to Republican groups, talking about all the issues that Tim Ramphin's now talking about in his campaign for governor. Tristan, his staffer, wouldn't stop doing that. So instead of saying we're going to fire you because he has a family, we reassigned him to a different office. He chose to voluntarily leave state service. And what did he do? He went right to Tim Ramphin's campaign as they launched for governor because he doesn't use taxpayer resources to do it anymore. So that's why it happened. It was wrong. We did what I thought was the more humane thing, which is to say, look, we're just going to reassign you. He chose to take a different path, and now he's on Tim Ramphin's campaign, traveling around the state using campaign dollars instead of taxpayer dollars.
Okay, and I'm looking at the clock. We'll squeeze this one in, and then we're going to take a break. I'm going to ask you some more questions, and then we'll get to some of our callers. It appears that Representative Rantham is the only person on this Assembly Joint Resolution 120, and you know, I know that you probably, by number, you're probably not familiar with it, but...
I know the number, yeah.
Okay. So can you talk about that? I don't see that there are any co-sponsors. I don't see that there are any other names next to this Assembly Joint Resolution. Can you talk a little bit about that? And I mean, if there's any merit to doing something like this?
Well, I think you just explained the problem that Tim Rantham has that people fundamentally, I guess, kind of gloss over. There is one person in the entire legislature of 132 people that supports his position. One. One does not mean you get to pass a bill. There is not the majority support to put it forward. It's just not going to happen. There is not even a Senate co-sponsor. So the idea that somehow we're going to bring back a special session of the legislature to vote on a bill that has not a single senator in support and it has one assembly rep in support is preposterous. We're not going to do it. So people have this misguided notion that it's me holding it up. Well, I'm one of the no's because it can't happen, but I'm one of 98 other people that say it should not happen. So, you know, again, people can make up their own facts, which is what I feel like Tim Rantham does most of the time. There is not majority support. Frankly, I don't even think there's majority support among Republicans statewide. Most of the people that I talk to want us to get on with it. Focus on 2022, reelect Ron Johnson, beat Tony Evers. Focus on winning so that we can pass real laws that will strengthen our election integrity instead of looking backwards, which is a self-defeating prophecy. And then we'll end up with even worse situations going forward than we had in 2020.
Okay, I'm speaking with Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss. I'm going to take a break and then go right into the 8:30 news after the break. And then after that, we'll come back. I want to ask you a few questions about the Gableman report, and then we'll take some calls and text messages from our listeners. 39327 is the text line. We'll be right back with Speaker Robin Voss on WSAU Feedback. Good morning and welcome back to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellison. Thank you for joining me this morning. My guest is Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, and he will be joining me again after the 8:30 news. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, here are the ground rules. State your name, where you're calling from, you ask your question, and then you hang up. We're not going to have an ongoing discussion. I want to get to as many calls as possible. 715-845-2155. The text line, if you'd like to ask a question via text, I will try to get to as many of them as possible. I have a whole list of my own questions that I'd like to cover as well. Since I'm the host and the den mother, I get to decide. 39327. But I do want to give you the opportunity to ask questions of Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, right after the 8:30 news. Good morning and welcome back to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellefson. I am just trying to get the journey off and Speaker Voss back on. Okay, hold on. You're still there, Speaker Voss. Okay, I'm running around. If you see me, because we're on Zoom video, I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. It is actually, I think it's still on. But okay, so when we went to break, and just for our listeners that have just decided to tune in, shame on you. You've missed a great interview so far. Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, has joined me again in studio via video and on Zoom. And we're going to be taking your calls. I understand that there are a number of people waiting on hold to ask questions. I quickly printed off pages 135 and 136 of the Gableman report. And I know that there are those that believe that there is a path for decertification of the election that are... that are citing what was written in the Gableman report, and I'm just going to read a few of the statements that I've seen from one of the groups that is leading. Well, is asking that the election be certified, and I'd like for you to just to respond to these statements. And you know, I think when you were last on the program, it was actually the day that you appeared on my program prior to the Gableman report being released, and so it was somewhat good timing, but not really. So now you can respond to what Gableman has released in his report. Here's what this person says: the legislature can legally and constitutionally reclaim the 2020 certified electors. The legislature does not need the concurrence of the governor. The legislature needs a simple majority in both houses to approve a remedy for the election fraud that affected the election results. There's a few more, but I want to, you know, I don't want to unload too much. So how do you respond to that?
So if you read Justice Gableman's report, what he said was, it's basically an untested legal theory. He never said that we could. He said that it hasn't really been litigated and we don't know that we can't. Other people have a different opinion. The Constitution is very clear. The only ways to replace a president are death or impeachment. You cannot go back 2 years later and undo the election, no matter how much fraud we find. And that is challenging. We could amend the Constitution to change the rules. We certainly have the ability to go and talk about it so that in the next election, we punish the people who committed the fraud or don't understand why changes need to happen to guarantee that things are fair. You know, one thing that I've heard, which is really a good point, I mean, Democrats have cheated all the way back to Tammany Hall. This is not something brand new in an election. We have had to overcome cheating literally back to 1960 when John F. Kennedy stole the election, in my mind, from Richard Nixon. So an awful lot of things have happened, and water is over, is under the dam or over the dam. So, I mean, I want to focus on the future. We know what we need to do. We need to have a Republican attorney general to prosecute the fraud. We need to have a Republican governor to sign the legislation, which we know will tighten up the ways that they found to commit fraud. And what our job is to expose it so that people, again, volunteer to be a poll worker. We had the largest number of people volunteer to be poll workers in a generation on the Republican side. There's a ton of enthusiasm. And that's the way that we prevent fraud, is by exposing it with sunshine. That's what we need to focus on, not turning inward and starting to fight with each other and forgetting that the Democrats are the ones who perpetrated it for the last 100 years.
So you bring up the attorney general. Do you think that there's any chance that our current attorney general, Josh Call, if we put enough pressure on him, that he would do anything about these election integrity issues?
Unfortunately, there's no chance. He's actually gone to court to sue the opposite, to say we don't even have the right to investigate. We don't have the right to do hearings or subpoenas. So we have an awful lot of challenges. And one of the things that we're looking at now is remembering that the legislature, when they issue a subpoena, if we issue a subpoena for Meg Ellefson, it basically holds you harmless from any prosecution. So I am seriously considering pulling back the subpoenas because it makes no sense to give people immunity now that we see that there is so much that has been found that a Republican attorney general could later prosecute. I don't want to give immunity to people. So there's an awful lot of things that we've got to look at, saying, what's the long game here? How do we hold people accountable? That's one of the things I kept hearing people say, we need to hold somebody accountable for the fraud that occurred in 2020. Well, that is done by either a district attorney or by an attorney general. It's not done by the legislature, but I want to make it better, not worse. So I have to be very careful in having the subpoenas that are issued, because that does grant immunity to the person who committed the crime. So we just got a lot of things to think through, and we're trying to do it strategically so that we show people what happened, but at the same time, don't let people who committed the crime or perpetrated the fraud off the hook.
If we did have a Republican attorney general, would you be willing to lead the assembly to pass a bill to give the attorney general authority to enforce election law?
I believe he already does, so I don't even think we need to pass a new law. But I am making a promise. We had 17 bills that have come before the legislature dealing with everything from indefinitely confined status, making sure that we have individuals who have to go through the special voting deputies. We can't have the nursing home run around. All of those that we passed, stopping the Zuckerbucks, I mean, all the things that really made a difference in 2020 to perpetrate the fraud, we're going to pass those in the first month. They will be law by Valentine's Day of 2023, but you've got to give us a Republican governor to sign the bills.
Keep calling in 715-845-2155, or feel free to do the text line 39327. So there is a divide, as you're well aware, within the Republican Party. And there's a lot, you know, I guess I characterize it sometimes as a circular firing squad. And it's frustrating. I've expressed my concern about, about being having to be a den mother and reminding people that we have to try to figure out how to get along. Because I talked with a Republican over the weekend, a Republican that's part of one of the organizations that supports a conservative cause, Second Amendment. And he expressed to me his concerns that every time the decertification issue is in the news cycle, the Democrats raise more and more money. How much money have the Democrats raised as a result of this ongoing saga within the Republican Party?
You know, that's a really good point. And the frustration that we have is they have nothing to talk about. They have no record. They have inflation, deficits, welfare spending, the bad way they handled COVID. You name the topic, the way that they didn't educate kids for a year and they're falling behind. I mean, I can go through a long laundry list of reasons that Democrats deserve to be put out of power. But if we only talk about 2020, that is the area that revs up their base, and it allows them a talking point to say that they're quote unquote saving democracy and stopping us from stealing elections. Now, I think that's preposterous, but it gives them something that the media want to report on, which is trying to make us look like we don't take issues seriously and them look like they're focusing on kind of being above the fray. So they have raised massive amounts of money. Just this last week, they had a fundraiser with the people from Whose Line Is It Anyway, where they raised, I think, $60,000 or $70,000 online. We have to raise money the old-fashioned way by people giving $10 or $20 or $50 to their local legislator. That's what makes a difference. They get to raise it from people all around the country, out of state, big billionaires that give tons of money like Zuckerberg to help buy the election. So we've got to do a good job of revving people up, which is why talking about the past is not what people want to focus on by and large in our party. They want to focus on the reasons the Democrats deserve to go. One of those is election integrity, but it's not the only topic. There are a lot of ones where Democrats have failed, and we need to point that out.
715-845-2155, if you'd like to join the conversation. So I also want to ask, how often do you talk with President Trump and President Trump's attorneys with regard to this situation that I keep relitigating?
Yeah, I mean, I've probably talked to President Trump, I don't know, a dozen, 15 times in the last 6 months. So it's not every week, but it's more often than not. And he is consistent in saying that he believes there were things that happened in 2020, and I agree with him on that. He's 100% right. The challenge that we have is, you know, if you look at the polling, there was a new poll that came out today, I think it was Emerson, that shows Donald Trump beating Joe Biden in 2024 by 5 points. Well, I think that's because everybody sees that Joe Biden is failing. So I want to focus on the future and the fact that we could have a Republican speaker in 2022 in the House to stop all the wasted spending and all of the craziness that we see with the squad. We can stop confirming liberal judges to the bench if we stop having the Chuck Schumer in charge of the U.S. Senate. I mean, it's a fairly easy formula, but we got to reelect Ron Johnson, which means we also have to have a Republican governor. I mean, I can say it over and over because it's true, but that's what's going to stop the country from sliding toward socialism. It's not going back to 2020 and having an argument about something that's impossible to occur.
Okay, I'm going to take a few calls now. First up this morning, good morning and welcome to Feedback. You're on with Meg and Speaker Voss. Can you give me your name and where you're calling from and then ask your question?
Hey, good morning. This is John from Wisconsin Rapids. How you doing, Meg and Speaker Voss? Question for Speaker Voss, the voting rolls. Now, back in 2020, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court ordered WEC to clean up the voter rolls. WEC did not do that. You and the legislature do have oversight over WEC. What can you do to get WEC to make that work, good sir?
Thanks for your call, John.
Actually, the Supreme Court decided the opposite. The Supreme Court said that they don't have to purge the voter rolls. That's the problem that we have. We had justices making the wrong decision. So we had had WEC order that at the end of 2020, all the voter rolls would be cleaned up. Liberals, I think, took to the case, maybe it was conservatives, I don't remember, but somebody took a case at the state Supreme Court saying that they did not have the power to order that, and they won. So the reason that we have all those people on the rolls is because of a bad Supreme Court decision. We actually passed legislation to clean that up. I think it is preposterous that someone who is dead stays on the list. They should be permanently deactivated and taken off. I think that if somebody moves out of state, they should be permanently taken off the list, and they should allow to re-register when they move back to Wisconsin. I mean, simple things that we already passed legislation to do, but Governor Evers vetoed that. So again, bad Supreme Court decision, no signature from the governor means we have the current situation, and it can only change by having a different governor sign a bill.
Okay, so 715-845-2155 if you'd like to join the conversation. I think I have another caller. Good morning, welcome to Feedback.
Good morning, this is Louis Rell from Gleason, Wisconsin.
Good morning, Louis.
Hi, Robin. I got a question about suffrage, Article 3 of our state constitution, where it says you must be a U.S. citizen to vote. And I want to know if you're all for and are going to push to make sure that we use a real ID where we have a little star on our driver's license or whatever, so that we've proven that we're a citizen, or we sold our citizenship papers. And if you don't have that, your driver's license says not for voting purposes. What do you think?
100%, Louis, you're right on target. You know, it's preposterous to me that liberals want to allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. So we've already passed a constitutional amendment to guarantee that voting in Wisconsin can only be for U.S. citizens. It doesn't require Governor Evers' signature, but it does require us to come back next spring with a Republican majority and pass it a second time. Then it goes to the voters, hopefully in the spring of 2023, to become part of our Constitution. I'm 100% in support. I support the real ID. We really want to make sure that only citizens can vote. It seems like it's something that I think 90% of the public agrees on, unless you're a leftist from downtown Madison.
715-845-2155. We got another caller. Good morning and welcome to Feedback. You're on with Meg and Speaker Voss.
Hi there. I probably missed a lot because I dropped the call and didn't hear what was going on.
Can you tell me your first name and where you're calling from?
Sure. It's Bridget from Antigo.
Okay.
And I appreciate Speaker Voss looking forward. I think what happened was a tragedy, a travesty. I think a lot of people, both the Republican and the Democratic side, are unhappy with how things have been going on with the election. And I really am looking for the unity. And when we use buzzwords like liberal, conservative, we target populations, we're really divisive. So unfortunately, I just caught that as I went on the air, and it's like, please, can we all grow up and stop calling labels? Because labels divide. And I think what I feel, and I've voted for Democrats, I've voted independent, I have voted for Republicans. So I am probably more representative of Wisconsin than people who are so entrenched in their political jargon that they can't see that the country needs to be unified. And so although I voted for Trump twice, I want nothing to do with him going forward because he's not a unifying factor right now. It's kind of like he is definitely the best player on the team, but he's toxic. So I'll use the sports analogy. Like, if the whole team can't stand the best player, the coach is going to trade the player. So my original question is, what can Voss recommend for people like me, who I think I speak for the majority of people in Wisconsin? We want a united local government, we want a United States government, and we want a United States of America. And the craziness that's been going on the last several decades has been divisive, and it is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to the United States, both sides of the aisle, not just the Republicans, not just the Democrats. So what can you recommend? This is not the original question, but now when I tuned in and we're doing the slamming people and, you know, I think we look at Christ, and Christ in his time was probably the most liberal person on the face of the earth. He believed that men and women were equal. He believed that there was no slave, you know. So what can you, Voss, do to get candidates like Johnson, Rand Paul, people who are intelligent and not toxic? What can you do to get them more involved and help us win races for people who can unify locally, state, and federally?
Bridget, thanks for your long question. I appreciate you calling in. That's all right. Thank you. Speaker Voss.
Well, thank you, Bridget. Well, I try super hard to focus on issues. I ran for the legislature because I'm a conservative. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I'm pro-life. I supported changes to allow people the freedom to join a union if they choose. I want property tax limits. I support school choice. I mean, I think the more that we talk about the issues that bring us together, and it's really issue-driven, I think the more that you're going to see people rally around the things that we believe in, because I think we're in the majority. That's what I try to do. I try to recruit candidates who believe the same thing, right? They want to actually work to achieve conservative policy victories. I'm not going to sit and argue. I do think there's a difference, though. I do think it's important for us to show what Republicans believe in and what Democrats believe in. Many times at election time, Democrats sound an awful lot like Republicans, and then they get to Madison and they sound just like a liberal Democrat from the Isthmus in the inner city of Madison. So I think that's part of our challenge is I want to talk about issues, but Democrats only want to talk about issues when they after they win, frankly. And that's where they do an awful lot of demonization. It's hard to take it. And that's where I think our side has to do better. I'm not going to demonize people on my side of the aisle. I'm not going to demonize people on the other side of the aisle. I'm going to point out differences. I'm going to say the truth, and I hope people will make judgments based on that.
Okay, so I have a text message that says, we're not asking to put Trump back in the White House. We want to decertify the Wisconsin election to make a statement that Wisconsin election in 2020 was illegally run. Don't skirt the issue. This is based on principle. Decertify the election. That's all.
We have no constitutional authority to decertify the election. I think most Republicans in the state already agree that 2020 had major shenanigans that happened. So if we now pass a resolution where an awful lot of people think it's divisive and that it focuses on the past, not the future, why wouldn't you focus on the fact that we have passed 17 bills to fix the election? That is actually something positive that can be brought forward and become law. Having us pass a feel-good resolution, I mean, we always talk about the idea that Democrats want to do everything that's feel-good and touchy-feely. Doing a resolution that would focus on the past that has no ability to do anything other than fire up the Democrats seems counterproductive to me. I want to pass public policy that'll make a difference. And that's what we've done. That's what we'll do if we get a Republican governor to sign the bills.
Okay, so this is my kind of a follow-up. I've heard this a lot from a number of people that I have talked to that are in support of decertification. If you don't do something, if you, Speaker Voss, don't do something concrete, they fear that we'll lose the election in November. Because there's this division in the Republican Party, and is there anything? I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering an olive branch or something that can, I mean, I realize there were a couple of meetings last week one in Point and one down at the Capitol. But is there anything?
Here's the challenge that we have. Number one, I have appointed the only special investigator in the entire country to look into election fraud. I'm the only legislative leader that did that. And that's Justice Gableman. He has produced a report that clearly shows there were issues of 2020. We had an audit by the Nonpartisan Audit Bureau. We had the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty do an audit of themselves. So we've already had three investigations to show that there were major problems with the election. We know what happened. We don't need to have one more thing that has zero impact on the outcome of the 2020 election and possibly negative impacts on the 2022 election. So I want to focus on the future. That's what we need to do. Individuals who feel like we haven't done enough, they're just not paying attention to the rest of the country. We are at the forefront of doing the most that we can. But at the end of the day, I don't have the power to prosecute. We don't have the power to issue charges. We only have the power to investigate, which we've now done three times, showing the same results in each investigation, that we need a new governor to sign new bills that will help to rectify the problems that we saw in 2020 going forward.
Wisconsin Elections Commission, should they stay or should they go?
You know, there's only three ways to run elections. You can have a bipartisan elections commission like we do in Wisconsin. You can have a quote-unquote nonpartisan elections commission like we had before, which was rife with problems. Or you can put a partisan elected official in charge. If we would have a partisan elected official in charge, we would have had Doug La Follette running elections for the last 50 years, a Democrat. So people who want to empower somebody to run the elections, people think that somehow the legislature should run elections. That is not in our purview under the Constitution. We are not the executive branch. Remember, we focus on the future. We don't focus on the president. That's the role of the executive. So You know, am I open to looking at ways to make WEC more effective? Yes. And again, that was the result of bad court decisions. In the law that we passed, we were very clear in saying that WEC could not issue guidance unless it went through the legislature's rulemaking process. A court found differently. They said that we don't have to go through that rulemaking process, and that's where we are. So an awful lot of the problems that we have were caused by bad decisions of the Supreme Court, bad decisions by elected officials, and that's who we're going to have to hold accountable. But putting an elected official, possibly a Democrat, most of the time in charge of the elections is like putting a fox in charge of the hen house. That is a dumb idea that I will never support.
If we have a Republican Secretary of State, would you give the power to the Secretary of State to control or to manage the elections?
Well, we got the same problem, and because I want to have faith in everybody. I want Democrats to have faith in the election. I want Republicans to have faith in the election. Now, I think that the possibility of having a Republican Secretary of State is real for the first time in my lifetime. Amy Laudenbeck is running as a Republican legislator. She did a great job. She would be a great Secretary of State. But the idea that we're going to trust an elected official to run elections, we've seen around the country, that is not a good idea. I think that the focus needs to be on making WEC better, reforming the process, and guaranteeing that we have both sides with confidence in the election, not having confidence depending on who your person is running the election. That will be ultimate chaos over the next decade.
Okay, we have one last caller, and it's going to have to be quick because I'm really up against a break.
John, are you there?
Okay, we lost him. All right, so it looks like I'm really seriously up against the break. Speaker Voss, I appreciate you coming on again. Thank you for your willingness to talk about this issue. I hope that you'll join me again, and maybe we can talk about the upcoming elections and how we can beat Democrats in the midterm.
I would love to, Meg. Have a great vacation. Get some rest.
Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless. I'll talk with you again soon. Thanks. I'm going to go to a break, and I'm going to sign off as well for today. God bless. I'm going to be gone for the next week and a half on vacation. Chris will be in to sub on WSAU Feedback. God bless. Have a great day. I'll talk with you again in April.